Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Team Radio Sai in Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. On the audio console is my colleague and sound engineer, Brother Sunil. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, airing live from the Radio Sai studios, where the time right now is 9:40 a.m. And today is Thursday, November the 21st, 2013. Right now, Prashanti Nilayam is in the thick of birthday celebrations. As you know, the 88th birthday anniversary of Bhagwan Baba will be celebrated day after tomorrow. That is on Saturday, November the 23rd. Already thousands and thousands of spiritual seekers from everywhere are here. And busloads and taxis are arriving every minute. You can almost smell the joy and the celebrations in the air. And my personal favorite activity is to enjoy the lovely musical programs in the evening while watching the heavenly sights of the Yajur Mandir, the Sarvadharma Stupa, the Sai Kulwant Hall, and all the trees around them. Everything is so beautifully decorated with little lights. There's illumination all over the ashram. But to do this, you have to sit outside the Mandir, of course, for the evening program, and I tell you, it's worth it these days. And what is helping us further is the picture-perfect weather conditions in Prashanti Nilayam these days. We have overnight lows of 19 degrees, making evenings and night times quite cool and comfortable. It's clear and sunny in the daytime with maximum 31 degrees Celsius with clean, crisp air. Every day we are enjoying a wonderful lineup of programs, musicals and dance dramas and such. Last night we enjoyed the Padma Shri recipient, Mrs. Padmaja Joglekar's melodious bhajans, and the good times we hope will continue over the next week or so. On Baba's 88th birthday anniversary on Saturday, November the 23rd, we have a number of special programs lined up here in Prashanti. And to give us a sneak peek into what is in store, we are pleased to welcome a special guest to the show who is in the know of the inside story, and hopefully he will share it with our listeners. Dear listeners, our studio guest this morning is none other than the media coordinator of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust and a professor at the Sri Satya Sai University. His name is Professor Anant Raman. I'm sure you're very familiar with his voice and his name. And after we hear from our special studio guest, Professor Anant Raman, we will play for you the next part of the Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Brother Gautam Dutt. So please, continue to stay with us for the entire show.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, before I go any further, dear listeners, did you like that jingle? We prepared especially for Bhagwan's 88th birthday, and we'd love to have your feedback to it. Now, let's start off Morning Glory by welcoming our studio guest, Sai Ram, Professor Anant Raman, sir, and welcome to Morning Glory.
Sai Ram.
Sir, I understand the Trust and the Sai organization have been very busy last few months in connection with the birthday celebrations. So what can we expect on November the 23rd?
In fact, the whole week has been full of festivities, music, rituals, the whole lot. And it's amazing, isn't it? Even 2 years after Swami's physical body left his world, we continue to have all these functions exactly as before.
Very
people
true.
Coming in exactly as before. Festivities continue. On 23rd, the principal function, in addition to the musical offering by students, etc., etc., would be two principal events on that day. One will be the release of commemorative stamps by the Indian Post and Telegraphs, and also the first day cover by Dr. Killi Kriparani, who is the Union Minister of State for Communications and Information Technology. She will also release the annual report of the Trust for 2012 and 13. And as usual, the university brass band will be in attendance. And in the evening, we'll have a classical Carnatic music program by Sri Bharat Sundar.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Malari Brothers, because no birthday is complete without Malari Brothers giving their customary performance. Mm-hmm. I think this is typical what's being planned for the 23rd number. In fact, this is only one day in a series of a weekly incidents where right from the gentleman who sang bhajan through whistle to Anantapur college girls, playing the band, I think it's one whole series of cultural and ritualistic functions.
I see. Now let's talk about the stamp release, sir. What can you tell our listeners about it?
The stamp will be released by the minister, and the post office within Prashanthi Nilayam will offer these stamps to the general public. Stamps will be sold for 5 rupees per stamp. The first day covers will also be available for 5 rupees. And a cancelled first day cover will be available for 16 rupees. They will cancel it and give it to you on the spot. It's expected to be a philatelist delight as far as these three are concerned. To assist in this program, the Book Trust has also set up 3 kiosks. And through these kiosks, all these stamps will be sold, stamps and first day covers. In fact, judging by the demand that is taking place, there is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm all over the world from devotees,
indeed,
from people outside the devotees wanting this. They're very excited about it. Orders are pouring in. I myself have received several calls in the last 1 week, where can we buy stamps? So it's likely to be a runaway event. I wouldn't be surprised if everything gets sold in about 15 minutes.
Sounds like your India Today special issue, which sold even before it came off the print. Now, let's talk about the eagerly awaited Golden Book, the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust's magnum opus, the Annual Report 2012-2013. Clearly, the Central Trust is keeping its word to be as transparent and as open as needed in all its actions. Can you tell us more about this year's annual report, sir?
I like the way you said magnum opus. Right. You know, we started this issuing this report in 2010-11.
Right.
At that time, we felt it was a small report of 42 pages. We felt at that time, in times with the demand of the times, etc., etc., we need to tell people more about what we are. Transparency seemed important. So more to satisfy the requirements of transparency, we released a small report of 45-50 pages, which basically contained a brief report of the activities.
Mm-hmm.
We did not give any financials in that.
In the first year, yes.
In the very first year. But in the subsequent years, we felt, look, we need to give more information. So in 2011 and 12, which is the second year, we gave the profit and the income statement and the balance sheet, the complete financial picture, and also the trustees' report as approved by the Vata meeting, and gave a more complete information of all the activities that is taking place. And in 2012-13, we are expanding more upon that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is, we want this to be available to people as information, as statistics. The whole idea is to indicate to the people, not just about Central Trust alone, but about the entire sweep of the Sai movement. What is taking place all over the world? Officially, unofficially, through the organization, outside the organization, charitable, social welfare, schools, education, in all the areas, what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Giving information, at the same time giving an opportunity to share with all this so that they can also contribute.
Hmm.
That's exactly our endeavor to do this. And to do this, we are trying to make the report more readable. This year, we have included some anecdotes, some stories, etc. Because typically, a typical annual report, what does one do? You know, you find it in a dentist chair, somebody takes it up, reads it. You ask somebody, how is it? Oh, it's nice, and drop it back. Nobody ever reads it. But some of these statistics are necessary, but at the same time, we also must make it readable. So that's what we are attempting to do. We have taken it one step further as far as this year is concerned.
I see. I can notice it right from its appearance. It looks really very beautiful, very aesthetically designed, and quite a lovely sight to behold. And it sort of invites a person to browse through it and read it, not just like look at it and drop it. It doesn't fit that usual image one would have of an annual report, that dry, drab and official-looking document with only boring statistics. How did you go about planning it so interestingly?
I think it just evolved. It just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, we wrote to the people concerned, please give us a report of all your activity. This is basically a report of whatever each of these different divisions did for the period 1st April 2012 to 31st March 2013. We gave them a special format and said, please give it back in the format. As expected, none of them gave it in the same format. So that was a great excitement to us because we had to redo the whole thing again. But one way it was good because we were able to structure it the way we wanted. And reading through this format, new vistas emerged. So I would say the whole thing, I don't think we planned that it must be this way. As each page were being drafted, we thought of something else, we thought of something new, we went back to them. And so I would say the whole thing evolved over the period.
I see, but this year's cover page design is quite a departure from the usual theme of free Educare, Medicare, clean water. Very attractive and very out of the box. I understand it came about due to a competition you held.
It's not exactly a competition. What we told was, we suddenly got the idea one day, why not let more people participate in this exercise?
Hmm.
So we generally sent out a circular to people saying, look, if your creativity is tugging you and if you want to do something in that area, why don't you try and give us suggestions on our cover page design? We were not offering any money for it. I said, look, we will use it. We will give credit to your contribution. And several contributions came. And we were surprised at not just the number, but also at the variety of contributions that came. There was a molecular helix. There were the usual collages. There were cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cover page contribution by an 8-year-old schoolboy. There was another one from somebody who was physically challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So we were quite struck by the variety of contributions that came.
The physically challenged person is a member of our team.
Oh, really? We didn't know that.
He's a volunteer. He's a volunteer with Radio Sci.
Okay. Right. And finally, we chose the winning entry. We chose mainly because we asked the person who was given the winning entry, what does this signify? It's a picture of Swami giving alms to a person, and in a three-dimensional, multidimensional form. We asked him, why did you do this? What was behind you when you made this? His reply was something very classic, which we have reproduced in our report somewhere. He said, I want to do a slightly surreal image of Swami. After creating the image, I felt that the image draws you in. You slowly realize what is going on and your attention is drawn from Swami to this humble act of giving and you felt overwhelmed.
Mm.
This is what he said.
Beautiful. Who is the person who did
it? A gentleman called Vikas Tripathi from Bangalore. I have not even met him. I don't even know who he is. I have, however, asked him to come for the birthday if he can. And it was something which was quite different from the other concepts which we had received. So we thought, you know, we should do this. And not only we borrowed ideas from other people. There was also a contribution. In fact, the logos we use right through,
mm-hmm.
because we have again divided them into Medicare, Educare, and Social Care. And the logos we have used was designed by another person who designed a Medicare logo to indicate a system on the move.
Yes.
Educare logo to indicate gender equality and Social Care logo to indicate the family. She felt this was what was paramount in each of these areas. So she made small logos which were reproduced right through in the several different sections.
Do we know who she is?
A lady called Bambani. I've not met her either.
So it's so nice that devotees all over are people who are interested in the Sai organization responded so warmly.
I don't even know whether they are devotees. I don't even know whether they have even come to Puttaparthi Prasadalayam. In fact, when some of the people who wanted to contribute asked us, what do we do? We said, you do whatever you want. But what I would suggest is, when you think of Swami or the mission, what is it that comes to your mind? Try to project that on a picture, on a front cover. And this is what we want you to do. And different people had different perspectives of what was happening. That's why Vikas's depiction of Swami as a giver, as one who encourages the act of giving to people, that impressed him most. And we said, look, if that's the way you feel, that's the way we feel too. And we chose that as a front page design.
And it's really very attractive. It just grabs your attention. It makes you want to pick it up and start browsing through and reading.
Well, I've still not received the printed edition yet. It's gone to the printer. It's expected tomorrow.
But the one on my computer right now looks very attractive. Right. I hope it reproduces equally well.
Right.
Very nicely done. Now, so would you care to walk us through the main sections and perhaps highlight the information that listeners of Morning Glory would be most interested in?
Well, let me just go through the whole exercise.
Yeah, definitely. Please do.
We start with this cover page.
Yes.
And in the second page, we have one letter of Swami, which we reproduce, where Swami basically talks here about we shall be judged not by the creed we profess, or the label we wear, or the slogans we shout, but by the work, the industry, the sacrifice, the honesty and purity of character. I thought this is something which is relevant to the times today. Mm. That what is important is the way we work, the integrity with which we work, and the commitment with which we work. This is the letter written by Swami. We have put this letter on page 2. And then we have a picture of Swami, and then we go to the contents. In the contents page, as usual, we divided them into 4 sections. Satya Sai Central Trust, official matters, balance sheet, accounts, and then a section on Medicare, Educare, Social Care.
With the nice logos besides
and
them.
And you will see them, the logos, logos designed, you know. And we, in fact, we have put these logos, you know, right through.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the report of the trustees. And subsequent pages news about the other trusts, associated trusts, and then we come to the income statement and balance sheet like last year. And these are also, there is also a pie chart indicating how the income was received, where the income was received. The whole idea is to make the whole thing transparent. If you
so let's talk about figures, if you don't mind. Listeners would be very curious to know.
Well, substantially our total expenditure each year is something in the region of about 100 to 120 crores. Last year was about 101 crores. And this expenditure is funded from 2 sources. One is the donation that comes directly inside.
Right.
And the interest that we receive out of the money we have kept in fixed deposit. Generally, the interest on the fixed deposit more or less covers the entire expenditure. But we need inputs every year because we need to provide for inflation, we need to provide for new projects. So
upgrading.
The 50 crores of investment which we receive the donations we receive go towards filling these 2 requirements. So things are stable, continuing the same way as before.
And are the donations flowing in as they used to?
Exactly. In fact, donations would vary over a period. If I take an average over a period, I would say the donations we received last one particular year may be much higher, another year may be lower, but what we need to look at is an average over a period. If we take an average over a period, you will probably find donations more or less stay at the same figure.
Which is around?
Somewhere around 50 crores to 75 crores.
I see, per year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And there's a section on compliance and social impact. What's that all about?
This basically talks about the way we pay taxes, Foreign Exchange Regulation Act, and foreign exchange regulation fees, charitable and endowment trust requirements, etc., etc.
And we comply with everything, all government regulation.
In order, we have indicated here the date on which we have given. And we've also done one more calculation, which probably we have indicated somewhere in the trustees report, etc., etc., which is, we have included it here. We calculated from the beginning of the two hospitals, from that day up till today. If you take all the surgeries they performed, all the consultations they did, etc., etc., and convert it to the market price of these surgeries,
right,
and costs.
And the diagnostics that we do.
We didn't take a very high corporate hospital figures. We took an average figure, which is conservative. And what would have been the total cost to people? And we received a staggering figure of 3,200 crores.
Oh my God.
In other words, the contribution of our two hospitals is
money terms.
Extent of medical treatment worth 3,200 crores offered free to people. It's not only volume, but this is quality medical.
And it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, when we just took at this figure because we wanted to do a study on this, but when we looked at this number, we ourselves couldn't believe. We went back to the drawing board and recalculated to really see whether this was true. It was true. It's an amazing kind of figure.
It's like the outlay of a government.
Exactly, exactly. And so far no one bothered. None of us need to bother about it. It just happened. Because Swami once said you should not value or evaluate the social service we do. But we felt, look, we had to do it and communicate to people what's happening. That this place is not just a place where you come for darshan, spirituality and go away. This place also does a tremendous amount of these services. Just imagine, two large super specialty hospitals.
And two general hospitals and the mobile.
Two general hospitals which have in fact created a movement for more such hospitals to be built by other like-minded people elsewhere in the world. We hear elsewhere in India there are two or three more hospitals on the same type as this, basically influenced by, motivated by these hospitals. It is kind of amazing.
It is. It's very hard to fathom that one person could inspire this kind of work. This is bigger than government work.
Absolutely.
And everything that is rendered here is done so meticulously with so much of love.
Correct.
And HR cost or salary cost is negligible.
Correct. Correct.
And as you said, that you pegged these figures on a very conservative basis. You didn't put the corporate hospital figures.
Right.
That's a huge amount of money just to wrap your head around. I see at the bottom of the page you have a cover design thing that we spoke about.
Yeah, that's the same thing I
spoke
to you about.
Vikas Tripathi's inspiration about the molecular helix.
Correct.
And we go down to a very beautiful collage again.
Yeah.
About the various activities of the trust. A lot of very attractive pictures. And then the section on festivities.
The festivities you will see preceded by a lovely picture of the Kulwant Hall, fully decorated.
Yes.
A two-page picture. And then we go to festivities in Prashant Nilayam, one whole section. The whole idea of these festivities is throughout the year, things have been happening exactly as before. In fact, if you notice, right from the Mahasamadhi day up till now, even now and beyond, every single function has been going exactly as before.
With the same.
Even Nagara Sankirtan on the morning when Swami left his body, from that time to evening aarti, up to yesterday evening, has been going exactly, almost as if he was standing there and supervising over all that.
Exactly.
Same thing happened as far as the festivities at Prashant Nilayam are also concerned. Mm. People from different parts of the world, different. The whole idea is we wanted to project here. This is not necessarily a ritualistic organization. This is a cultural organization. This is a social organization. People from all over the world, people from all faiths come, people from all over the world, 120 countries in which Sai organization operates. So they come here, most of them come here, at least one visit they make per year, and what do they do? So the whole idea of these 15 pages is to project these concepts of what is happening. So it's festivals all the year round here.
And multi-faith calendar, and as you said, it's exactly the way we had done it when Bhagwan was there. Creativity is growing. I see so much of love in the way people go up to the Mahasamadhi. It's very touching. They always recognize Bhagwan's omnipresence right there sitting on the dais. And everything I can see, even in the pictures you have represented various ethnic groups, various faiths, various cultural items that have been presented through the year 2012 to 2013. And I think the enthusiasm of the students is just growing by the day, leaps and bounds. Now, what is next after festivities?
And then after the festivities, we start our section on Medicare, social care, etc. Before that, right in the first page,
yes, sir,
we have written a two-page article on the social philosophy of Baba. We thought we need to do something, talk about it. You know, when you look at what has been created, it is amazing. For the last 3 years, I have been associated with this report. Every time I sit to consolidate this report, mm-hmm, I'm kind of wonderstruck at the vista of what is happening all over the world in different kind of areas where it is happening. And Swami has created all this without telling people what's happening, you know. It's almost as if one fine morning he sits and says, a hospital shall come 8 months from today. And another day he says, there shall be a university at Muddanahalli. When we are all wondering as to what's the connection between these, he sits somewhere and connects the dots.
It's like God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Absolutely. And at one level, schools, colleges, hospitals and water projects are all examples of efficiency, speed and good governance. At another level, they are also demonstrations of how to integrate education with human values, medical care with love and compassion, and social care with concern for the family, selflessness. Together, they completely redefine the philanthropy of public service.
Mm-hmm.
Not only public service philanthropy, but it also talks about governance and management. Because long ago, decades ago, Swami had declared, education, medicine and water are every human being's birthright, and they must be provided free of cost to one and all. So we try to write in these two pages, what is the basic philosophy that made Swami to do all this? What are these three things? We call Medicare is the love that heals, Educare is the love that inspires, and Social Care is the love that transforms. And finally, we said these three initiatives will remain in history as a testimony of Swami's love for mankind.
Mm.
A love that inspires, heals and transforms. It is that which connects.
Sounds so like a lot of stuff from the head as well as a lot of stuff from the heart.
Absolutely.
Has gone into
Absolutely.
Putting this annual report together.
Absolutely. You know, as I said, we never planned it this way. You know, the whole thing just evolved as we were writing one page when we wanted to go into the next page. And then comes a series of
there's a beautiful picture.
Statistics on. In fact, if you see the picture on the hospital,
it's beautiful.
In fact, this is, again, last year, if you see on the report, you will see a picture of the Whitefield Hospital.
That's true.
This was taken by a gentleman who is not a professional photographer, who is not even exactly a Swami devotee, who was just passing by the building one rainy evening, suddenly found a beautiful building. He took a picture, not knowing what it was. He said, what is this classic building here? He was a newcomer to Bangalore. Somewhere or other, that photograph reached me, and we figured it in the last year's annual report.
That was the Whitefield Hospital.
That's the Whitefield mm. Hospital. This year I invited the gentleman over and said, take some pictures. And this is the picture of Prashanthaliam Hospital, taken in the evening, dusk. We climbed a couple of unclimbable buildings nearby, climbed through a couple of ladders which were shaky, went to a terrace and took the picture from there at about 6 o'clock in the evening.
It's stunningly beautiful. The sky is blue with orange hues of orange, and the building is lit up from inside.
Yeah,
it looks like a palace of healing,
absolutely.
Not a temple of healing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a palace of healing.
Reminds me of the Mysore Palace during Dasara.
Correct.
So beautiful.
And then we have a whole series of write-ups on Medicare. You see, everywhere we are trying to give as much of statistics as possible.
Yes,
how many doctors, how many medicos, how many paramedics, how many patients.
And it's very easy to follow because you have little symbols there and simple statistics. It's for dummies as well as people are looking for deep information. Even I can follow this.
Right. And we have also statistics of each of the hospitals and also on...
Let's talk about the statistics. I see patients, 675,363 patients.
675,363 patients.
In 1 year.
In 1 year.
2012-2013.
In all the three hospitals.
Wow. And the number of surgical procedures?
23,911 surgical procedures done all free in the four hospitals.
My God. And imagine the amount of medication, nursing care and diagnostic
pre-op
treatment that was given also free of cost.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, these are all modern hospitals. In fact, we had a group of people who came from U.S. who visited us, And they were amazed at the IT system they were following in the hospital.
Yes.
They said, look, we have been trying to create a central IT system for medical care in the U.S. We have not such an excellent system as you people have. It's amazing how the IT systems, the records that are available in the three hospitals are amazing. You could go to your hospital today and you may have just gone once 3 years ago.
They can pull it out.
They can pull it out.
Absolutely.
It doesn't happen anywhere else. It happens in very few other places.
And I believe we are amongst the world's top in IT because
Absolutely.
IT compliance can be categorized and we are at the highest level in the world right now.
Right.
And imagine a free charity hospital in rural India is on par with the very best facilities in the U.S.
Correct. And most of these systems have been designed by our own people.
Our own students,
and the people
most of
are all alumni who passed out of our institutions, most of them.
Swami's own children.
Swami's own children, that's right.
That's great.
And then we have stats of all the hospitals like this and also new equipment that is coming in the different areas. Stories about the conferences.
A lot of upgrading happening in the hospital.
There's a new cat lab.
MRI machine,
etc. The contribution mention of all these have been made. And then pictures of the other hospitals, statistics. And in addition to all these future plans, what are we planning to do? And then what are the general hospitals? What are the two general hospitals that are also doing a lot of upgrading? And then we have mobile hospital. The amount of service mobile hospitals have been doing since inception, the mobile hospitals have taken care of nearly 6 lakh patients.
Wow, and going into the villages at their doorstep.
And not only that, these mobile hospitals, our mobile hospital service or how we do in mobile hospital is also being used an elective subject for Cambridge University. In fact, there's a letter from University of Cambridge, Dr. White, who says, I'm particularly impressed at the structured way in which you have been able to deliver the teaching. We also teach when students visit the mobile hospital. To deliver this teaching to one of our students with careful planning of subject matter and clinical exposure, while at the same time operating such a busy mobile hospital. I'm sure there are lessons to be learned. He writes.
So nice.
Ex-director of medical education, Andhra Pradesh, writes, I cannot think of any other rural outreach service in our country having so much on-site diagnostic facility and matched by so many specialists working under one roof. These are all, you know, words that can easily go to your head.
Yes, beautiful. Can I just backtrack because I caught something on the previous page about the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital because it's one of my most favorite healthcare facilities around here because I find the doctors there are so extremely loving and caring and take such good... Now here it says the General Hospital alone handled 78,370 outpatients.
That's correct.
And the number of admissions was over nearly 1,545.
Right.
And babies delivered 262.
Right.
And OBG, gynae surgeries 250. That's enormous.
Right.
Everything
right.
again free. And then diagnostic testing, lab test 41,000. That's a small General Hospital
right.
handling such a big burden of healthcare.
Right.
And x-rays, 4,202. Ultrasounds, 2,734. Each ultrasound, if you go to a very ordinary lab in Bangalore City, will cost you close to several hundred or thousand rupees per ordinary. Maybe more than. I think x-rays cost in a thousand. Ultrasound scans cost much more. All this has been done free. Physiotherapy, 3,601. Amazing figures.
Right.
And your choice of pictures is fantastic. I think your pictorial input has really gone up this year, sir. The annual report is looking extremely attractive. Now, there's something about the Sri Satya Sai telemedicine program as well.
Right. In fact, this is one, you know, remarkable feature where there's a collaborative effort from Satya Sai Central Trust and the Indian Space Research Organization,
yes.
ISRO. It leverages the power of information technology basically to extend the quality of medical care. Just imagine somebody in Odisha or somebody in Paschim Banga sitting there and going to a center there and doctors out here in Prashant Nilayam able to read and monitor their work. This is what is happening. In fact, telehealth as a concept has expanded all over, and I'm glad that we have taken advantage of this.
I may add, I believe ISRO extended this service to hospitals to help reach patients who were in distant places. So people who come to our hospitals for surgeries, when they go back, this is an ideal follow-up without them having to go through traveling through buses and trains and rough areas. Our centers there take care of them. The doctors there screen them and keep them ready for this interaction face-to-face with the doctor in the super specialty who has all their records, recent medical reports in front of them on the computer. And we are one such institution that is fulfilling ISRO's original mission of helping as a community outreach, whereas a lot of corporate hospitals use the same facilities to only sign up people, patients, correct, to come correct, to them in correct. Cities and get
they
treatment.
They use it basically as a channel, marketing channel.
Marketing channel for recruiting patients.
Absolutely.
And we are using it to deliver healthcare free of cost. Really fulfilling Bhagwan's mission.
This kind of healthcare will probably become the art of the day. It will become more and more relevant. Mobile healthcare,
telemedicine.
And telemedicine. These will become more and more. Just imagine, it's like almost like having a super specialty hospital in every single village in India.
Exactly.
If we could extend outreach to several different places.
And we have treatments provided 713 for cardiology and for neurosurgery 749.
Correct.
A total of 1,462 patients have benefited.
Patients in 1 year. Of course, we are now doing predominantly in 2 states,
yes,
but slowly we will extend them to others.
Yes.
And we are learning the whole art of how do we do that.
Now, not much is known about the Sri Satyasai Institute of Nursing. Would you care to tell us, sir? There's a nice write-up on it.
Well, it's basically trains all the, nurses required for the college, etc. And it's got a permanent faculty of about 13, 14 people and lot of visiting faculty.
It's located in Whitefield. So that's where we get most of our nurses from.
We expect this to grow in course of time to a substantially important center of learning as far as medicine is concerned.
Wonderful to have our own nursing college. Now the next section is about EduCare. Beautiful picture.
Again, this picture is taken by the same gentleman who took the hospital picture.
Do we know his name?
Romal Sharma from Bangalore.
Romal Sharma of Bangalore.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is again a picture which he took. For this, of course, we had to also climb a few floors at the... We went to the top of the Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning and took this picture. Look at the beautiful picture of the two buildings.
I know. It looks like an artistic impression.
Absolutely.
It's so beautiful with
Absolutely.
The mountains behind. Normally in the rush of everyday life, I've never noticed how high the peaks are behind the university.
In fact, after
university.
This picture was taken, we were wondering, I hope, it doesn't, it looks too beautiful. Is it really true? So yes, it is true. We went back to the building and had a look at it one day. Yes, it's really true.
It's not photoshopped. This is the real picture.
It's not photoshopped.
Even the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning Prashanthi Nilayam campus actually looks like an artistic impression.
Correct.
It's so perfectly framed.
Correct.
And he's captured the clouds in the sky.
Correct.
It's absolutely lovely.
Correct.
Stellar photographs.
Correct. And then we have statistics about the institute, about the college, etc., etc.
All four campuses,
student strength, faculty, as usual, our faculty-student ratio is the best. Number of papers submitted per student also is the highest. Staff-to-student is also very good. Teachers with doctoral degrees are increasing substantially high. Research publications are also going up. Books contributed, chapters contributed in books. One of our features in the past had been we did not participate very much in academic work outside, like writing books, chapters, papers, etc., etc. Over the last 2-3 years, there has been a tremendous amount of impetus in this area. And so that has really grown, tremendously. In addition to that, one of the big areas in which work has been done is the collaboration between hospital and the university.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a lot of work done in this area. There's plenty of collaboration and research work by the bioscience department and the physics department along with the two hospitals. Several research programs are being undertaken. There is a Crondocyte cell culture lab which will explore the possibilities of cell culture in treating knee cartilage. So there is a research project from the Sathya Sai Institute of Medical Sciences and the university in the Department of Biology.
And this could be a huge medical breakthrough with Swami's grace once we succeed.
Absolutely. And we also have a collaboration with FDA, USA, Food and Drug Administration, where a representative from them came and visited the hospital to investigate nanotechnology-based diagnosis for TB, HIV, influenza, and all other diseases. So these are all new vistas of education where there's a big collaboration between two of our premier institutions, the Institute of Higher Learning and the hospital.
That's very nice. I know when Vice Chancellor Sir was visiting us, he told us about this new integration, and it's really opening new chapters for us, new territories to explore. There's a beautiful picture of the brass band as well from the convocation.
The convocation pictures. And we've also figured a picture, a page on Mercury College of Music. In the past, we never wrote about them. Mm-hmm. So this is again a very important feature. It trains all of our musicians. Hopefully it will become part of our university sooner rather than later. So it's a full-fledged music training college.
And it provides us with amazing musical treats in the Sai Kulwant Hall,
absolutely,
which everyone around the world enjoys because
absolutely
most of them are webcasted live on Radio Sai. There's a section on Swami schools as well.
Right, Swami schools. The 100 schools now. It used to be 99 schools.
Now
just
we are
100. 100 schools.
Sathya Sai schools
school
across
in
India.
Every state of India, majority of the states of India.
Some states have multiple schools.
Multiple schools also.
Yes, Orissa has many, Kerala has many.
It's a complete education ministry of its own, and there's a central body overseeing all this.
And all that is captured in the annual report.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the next section on the Vidyavahini project.
Vidyavahini project has been quantitatively mentioned, what are all the work that they have been doing. Even before Vidyavahini project, I think there is a picture you must see, mm-hmm, immediately after the Mirpuri College of Music.
Yes, sir.
You see a page, there's a picture of a building. Below the building you have geese and two other pictures. There's butterflies in the left and flowers in the right.
Beautiful photographs,
right.
Yes.
And we have written on the top, have you ever seen an academic campus with more flora and fauna than just brick and mortar? The Prashant Nilayam campus of the Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning has them all. Geese, peacocks, flowers and butterflies.
Lovely pictures.
Actually the same gentleman,
Mr. Romil
Sharma, took these pictures. And then we actually did a Photoshop collage, put them together. After putting them together, it looked so natural. We didn't want to give an impression to people we were cheating, so we drew all those lines to make it not look like it looked so natural, we wanted that to look artificial. So we drew all those lines.
And even with the lines, it looks stunningly beautiful.
Right.
Such an idyllic looking campus.
Absolutely. We don't realize that. It's amazing. Look at those butterflies. You could mistake them for plants somewhere.
Yeah, it's like in a national park or somewhere you have gone and taken these pictures.
Right
in downtown Puttaparthi in the Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning's Prashanthi Nilayam campus.
Yeah. And not only that, we have also, there's the whole lot of bird family in Prashanthi Nilayam.
There's a little write-up
about it. It says, the holy hamlet of Puttaparthi abounds in feathered friends. With an amazing array, they range from the teeny-weeny sunbirds, munias and preenias, to the medium-sized doves, rollers and larks, to the large ibises, storks and cranes. The rare malcolas, painted storks, and night herons also pay flying visits.
Nice.
In fact, it's an ornithologist's paradise if you really want to examine that. And then there's a write-up about the school, secondary school, all the work they do. And then we go to the Sai schools in India, which we talked about.
The 100 Sai
schools.
100
now. And then the Vidyavahini.
I see a nice picture of Mr. Chandrasekhar from TCS with,
yes,
Mr. Chakravarti,
yes,
of the Central.
And Vidyavahini, we have explained the whole concept of emphasis on creation of value content.
Hmm.
So the content creation, workshop to create content, workshop to transfer content onto the students, that has been the big, and the workshops towards that, content generation workshops, have been one of the strong features of Vidyavahini in the last 1 year. And creation of online academic assets, like questions, answers, interesting essays, date of day-to-day relevance. So they're creating all these academic assets, creating all these lesson plans, all of them together. And, you know, they're building the whole thing upon that, so they're going about it extremely scientifically and well.
And very systematically. So it will be, what a treasure it will be, what
Correct.
A nice repository of resources
Correct.
For educators.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they can access it free of cost, and
Absolutely.
The number of children who will benefit from it.
It's tremendous.
It's very hard to fathom the scope of the impact of the Vidyavahini
right,
at this
right.
stage.
In fact, 48 urban schools are being used for these content generation.
Already?
Already.
And the project is still so young and
Absolutely.
Is doing exceedingly well.
Exactly. In fact, some people from Google came over and said, look, what you're attempting to do, we tried it in US, we gave up. And this is something which will be of, you know, remarkable feature.
In the sense that have these resources accessible online? Because they would not be worried about integrating values into academics.
Yeah, our emphasis is we are integrating values.
Yeah.
And then we have a whole series on cultural, sports and cultural meet with all these lovely pictures of the activities that are taking place.
The first picture is most beautiful, Bhagwan in a convertible, Saab convertible. The roof is open and he's, the picture is just made to stand. They just make, what I like most
it
about
is
the
university. Bhagwan's photograph.
I know, it looks like he's standing there. But the university has maintained their, there's absolutely no dilution in their reverence for their chancellor.
No.
And it comes through in everything they organize. In the sports day also, the first thing they bring is Bhagwan's picture
Correct.
That matches
Correct.
The old memories.
Correct.
Very beautifully done.
And the university still considers Bhagwan as their chancellor.
Which is wonderful,
yeah.
Just staying true to the organic vision.
Right.
And lovely photographs further of various things, the various displays during sports day and cultural meet.
Right. And then there's a write-up about...
The Grama Seva.
Grama Seva.
Which is an integral part of experiential right. learning here.
Absolutely.
Would you like to tell us a little bit more about it, sir?
Yeah, we have given all the statistics of Grama Seva. When Swami introduced Grama Seva, he had multiple objectives. First objective was he needed to teach students the art of what is happening as far as managing a project is concerned.
So project management, hands-on.
Yeah. And he wanted to expose students to what is happening in rural India. And he wanted to prove to all the villages that God really cared. Mm-hmm. So he achieved these multiple objectives with just one single project, which is Sathya Sai Grama Seva project.
Mm-hmm.
So it continued as usual. 130 villages were served over a period of 9 days. And statistics for those have also been given.
Very, very nicely done. And 1,419 students and staff participated. Beautiful.
And it's a cooperative effort by students and staff,
everything.
All campuses, schools, etc., etc.
And there is a very interesting feature next to it called the story of Kailash.
You see, what, as we have said here, one of the remarkable features of the Sai mission is that we talk about official organizations, what the official organizations have created. Completely outside the official organizations, influenced by Swami's call, there are literally hundreds of groups who in their own way are attempting to bring cheer to some lost soul. These are largely unheralded, unhonored and unsung. In fact, there's a group called Chembur Dust in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
We got the story from them. This is the story of a boy called Kailash.
Mm-hmm.
The group found this boy on the road, very sick, took him to a doctor. Doctor said, advanced stage of cancer, he doesn't have very many more weeks to live.
It's little Kailash, it's young
right,
person.
Little Kailash. Mm. And so they took him home, took care of him. Kailash said, look, I want to learn computers. Why? Because I want to take a job and send money to my mother. So the group never told him, Kailash, what exactly was wrong with him. While you continued to give him treatment, they sent him to computer school. Kailash learned all about computers. He said, I wanted a job. they managed to create a job for him, make believe or real, I do not know, and then gave him the first month's salary. And then Kailash said, I want to go home and give it to my mother. So they sent a volunteer to go with him to his house, left Kailash there, came back. Next day Kailash wrote to them, I'm so happy I gave my first month's salary to my mother. Following day, they got a letter. They got a letter from them saying Kailash died.
Oh my God.
So it's like this is the kind of service quietly they have been doing.
What a wish to fulfill for a dying person. Very moving.
Absolutely. And as they, because this was, and they say, look, funded their words were, we learned that love all, serve all can transport us to a different world of bliss, where love is the only currency, and spending it does not diminish wealth, but augments it manifold. Right?
Beautiful.
And elsewhere in the report also you will find story of Vijayalakshmi and story of Pradeep.
Right.
Now, if you look at a conventional annual report, they don't write about all this, you know. We can write about
you've done the human factor, just a glimpses into the human interest aspect.
All this is also part of the mission.
Yes.
Like this, literally hundreds of them are taking place.
Millions, I would say.
Absolutely.
Because every Sai devotee sort of carries that love in their heart to reach out to another person, because they feel every time they reach out to another person, they're reaching out to Swami.
Correct. Because, you know, in addition to the fact that people are aware of this, stories like this, in a report like this, can also, A, motivate them to read the whole report. Otherwise, who is interested in reading a stale, dull annual report? So we are trying to make it more readable, more interesting, more exciting to people with additional factors like this.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, one of these days we may even put jokes. In fact, we collected a whole lot of Swami humor.
Uh-huh.
And we thought we'll start using them also, maybe in future editions.
The way you're going about it and doing such a good job, who knows, we'll make it to the New York Times bestseller list and annual report for the first time.
Yeah, the whole problem is we want to be careful here, because we don't want to replace what we want to do here of communicating Swami's mission to one of our desire to get editorial excellence, you know. There'll be a conflict. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to be true to the mission with which we started.
Mm-hmm. The next section is on social care.
Social care. We have a lovely picture of the people from Andhra performing a social care function.
Led by their state president, Mr. Chellam.
Led by their state president, Mr. Chellam, who is probably one of the most active persons you will see in Prashanthi Nilayam. Every function. In fact, Andhra, you know, the amount of things that take place all over, you know, in fact, in this report, we have mentioned a couple of them. In Visakhapatnam, for example, Sai Sev volunteers, our Sevadal volunteers, go to a road, go to pick up a homeless man who has never seen the inside of a home, take him home, they bathe him, they shave him, they give him food, they give him a new set of clothes,
and trim his nails, give him a haircut,
etc. Give a haircut. In Dum Dum Airport in Calcutta, in the platform, there are children sleeping in the night. Sai volunteers go there every morning, wake them up, bathe them, give them breakfast, and conduct classes there for 2 hours on the railway station platform. Every day, day in and day out, and then go away. Things like this are happening all over.
And so
all
quietly,
over the world.
So quietly. No publicity.
Like the Chembur Das people, our own Sevadal volunteers are all doing all this. And we are mentioning some of these stories here.
And these are stories that we really need to remind ourselves, because we need a dose of inspiration every day.
Correct.
How many wonderful people has Bhagwan motivated?
Correct.
Hmm.
And then there's a whole write-up about these, and somewhere along the line we are also mentioning statistics about All India Organization. There are about 2,647 samitis in India. There are nearly 6 lakh of organization members, people who go to samitis, people who are active, semi-active, the whole lot. There are 330,000 Bal Vikas graduated students in India. Trained Sevadals, there are 1,39,700 trained Sevadals in India.
I think that would make us possibly the largest core of volunteers for any NGO to have.
Nearly 3,800 people are trained in disaster management. The organization has adopted 2,700 villages. The integrated village program, where the Sevadal people go and give them integrated service, not just Medicare alone,
yeah,
the
I
whole
know.
Lot together, 1,200 villages, nearly 9 lakh medical camp beneficiaries. Some of these numbers, when you put them together, they're kind of mind-boggling. Even to get these numbers were very difficult. We asked the committees, they said, please give us numbers. They said, what numbers? We don't count. I said, please start counting, giving them numbers. We want to put them together. We ourselves want to get excited about these numbers, and we want to convey this excitement to others. How do we do this? We can do it only this way.
So much of good work is going on. We never realize when we are doing our little bit,
correct.
But we are a small dot in a bigger picture.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Swami created this whole organization without telling anybody. Right? And then there is a 15-20 page about what each state is doing. And, you know, finally we conclude by saying that the only focus for all these services is to stay true to Swami's message that service to man is service to God.
Service to God, yes.
And the emphasis is transforming lives to transform the world.
Mm-hmm. One human heart at a time.
Absolutely. And then we go to organization, and there is also the story of Vijayalakshmi, more story in the same Chembur dust stories.
And then there's the international organization.
And then international organization.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about international organization the same way, and then we talk about the world map of international organization, how many countries they operate.
Yes.
The international organization operates in about 120 countries of the world.
Mm-hmm. From, I can just read from Afghanistan to Australia to Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Belarus. It's unbelievable. Bulgaria, Croatia, Czech Republic. Oh my God, everywhere. There's nowhere. Latvia. Where are we not? Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Latin America. Of course, then there is North America, Canada, Costa Rica, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Africa. We are everywhere from Botswana to Cameroon to Madagascar, Malawi, Mauritius, Mozambique. It's A to Z, all the way to Zambia
every
and Zimbabwe. Every continent. Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. We are present everywhere. How impressive is that?
Amazing, is it? I can't make the statement without checking, but on an offhand I would say, I don't think there's any other organization which has such a sweep of the kind of service that they're performing.
And I have to concur with that, because I know there are many good organizations, but nobody has this kind of a sweep. I think, except perhaps the United Nations, has a presence in that many countries, but then it won't be spread in any country, in every state, the way we are in India. Incredible.
Maybe we should call ourselves the USN, United Sai Nations.
Yes, and give a run for their money to the UNO.
And then we have a series of services in every major. We've not listed all of them. You know, they gave us a big report. We had to choose some of them. In Kenya, there is a destitute children being taken care of. In Kazakhstan, Russian-speaking audiences received lessons in EHV, and in Kuwait, volunteers distributed essential goods to people.
And also in Hurricane Sandy in U.S., I can see that something happening in Sri Lanka, Argentina.
Correct. So there's a whole list of
Australia blood drive.
Right.
It's just hard to believe that Swami's divine mission has spread to so many parts of the world, whether it's Indonesia, Ireland, Italy. I'm just seeing all the pictures, all the reports, all the statistics. The annual report has a very nice, it has captured the overall picture.
In fact, the whole concept of annual report started because we wanted to show transparency to people. That's about all. But from that it has grown into something. As we write it each year, we ourselves are just amazed at what is happening. And you know, we can't believe some of the things that are happening. We felt we need to put them together, and we hope that people who read this are excited as we who got this edited, prepared that, etc., etc.
And I can see from Panama to the Philippines, everywhere there's good, and you know, Philippines was struck by this horrible natural disaster recently, the typhoon, and there's a lovely picture of a nun. She's praying, she's leading a prayer before starting a Sai activity program. Very poignant.
Correct.
It's a fairly large report about the Sri Satya Sai International Organization and the wonderful work they do. There is a beautiful picture of volunteers in West Indies framing a prefabricated home, helping the homeless. And then, of course, there is the story of Pradeep, another one of your human interest stories.
Okay.
Now, there is a section on the Sri Satya Sai Ishwaramba Women's Welfare Trust also. Would you like to tell us about
it? Yeah, they are doing a lot of predominantly work in the mother and child program, mm-hmm. extension of care. They are also busy in improving the sanitation facilities.
Right.
Kerosene stoves, giveaways, charitable giveaways. Tremendous amount of work. There's also something about performance statistics, giving pregnancy checkups, children's checkups.
Neonatal, prenatal.
Mm. They're doing tremendous amount of work of giving definitely greater power to rural women in this area, making them count, training them in trades, employment, taking care of the children, doing tremendous amount of work in that area.
Okay, excellent work. Now then there is the Sri Satya Sai Nityanandam Padakam.
Nityanandana Padakam. This is that unit which provides service. They go to one village, pick up a village, team of 20 men and Sevadal people, the whole team. They go to a village and, you know, after a bit of bhajan in one place, they serve all over. They serve villages, food all over. They also attach it to the medical camp, annadanam in that village. After reaching the designated villages, the Sevadal join the villages, they sing bhajan, the men seva, they'll unload the food and the food is served to everybody.
And
they do it like a clock.
And the number of meals served is, wow, 2,70,741.
Correct.
Value of rations, my God, I can't even read that. It's, I don't know, 23 million, is it in rupees? And the total expense is, so would you like to tell us how much the total expense is? According
right.
to me, it's 46,39,711,
right,
if
right.
I got it right.
Right, right.
And they traveled a distance to serve these 38 villages of nearly 60,000 kilometers.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
And I see the next report. It's extremely exciting and attractive.
And Anadana Padakam, I must also tell you one thing. Remarkably, every village they go to, there's an indication of Swami's presence. They go to one village, just before they serve, they find suddenly Swami's vibhuti on all utensils.
Oh my God.
Another village they go to, there is a bell on top of a temple, it starts ringing by itself.
All these miracles, right? Just signs of divine grace.
Signs of reminders. And it happens every time, every village they go to, which is what is remarkable.
Mm. Fantastic work, all good work, pure-hearted, well-intentioned. Sir, let's talk about the next report. Looks extremely exciting and attractive.
Yeah. So Radio Sai has been doing a lot of work and...
Well, it's about the Sri Satya Sai Media Foundation,
yeah,
so the listeners know, yes.
Okay, naturally.
Yes.
They do a tremendous amount of work, you know.
Rightly said, sir.
About conveying the message of Swami all over. It's a direct link between a devotee and Swami, and that's through Radio Sai. Through dissemination of Swami's message, his teachings, what is happening in Prashanthi Nilayam, etc. The team of Radio Sai does an extremely effective work of doing this. There are evidences of stories of people traveling in the high sea, sheep turning on the radio, listening to Radio Sai, getting excited as if they are in Prashanthi Nilayam. I've heard people tell me, we are never away from Prashanthi Nilayam as long as we have a radio with us. So they are doing a tremendous amount of work as far as these things are concerned. They have recently started a full 24-hour Telugu channel also. Hopefully they will extend it to other languages in course of time. And it's a very effective medium of communication between what is happening in ashram and Swami's message to the rest of the world, the rest of the devotees' world, predominantly devotee world. Hopefully this will extend to non-devotees also in course of time, and the whole structure would be expanded to include that too.
Sounds like a great plan. We say amen to all those thoughts. There's a beautiful picture of an artist's view of the archive building.
Yeah. Archive building, this is where, just imagine, you know, if only today we had in some place together letter written by Rama to Sita after they got married, how wonderful it would have been, right? Things like that. This is all the archives, all the memorabilia of Swami, which will gain more and more value with age. Just imagine, you know, 1,000 years from now, somebody wanting a copy of Swami's first article he wrote on
Sanatana Sarathi, yeah.
Right? What value will that be?
Mm.
Just imagine if somebody had kept here Lord Rama's first sandals that he used somewhere. Don't you think it would have been very exciting? And this archive building is being, this is an artist's view, is being created just to provide this kind of work. Radio Sai right now has been doing a lot of work in useful work and archive retrieval, etc. And hopefully this will end up somewhere here.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some chapter on human resources.
Yeah, this is what is, if you see this chapter on human resources, you find there are a total of about 4,563 people engaged in full-time service. Salaried people, non-salaried people, combination of all this. Out of this 1,268 people are in hospital, 442 people are in aged care, social care, 442 people are in hospitals, and 1590 sevadals.
Hmm.
This is the total number of people operating at any one time.
At any given time.
Any given time.
Okay.
Some with salary, some without salary, some are volunteers, some are people who kind of come and go. And the whole point we are trying to, and within India, there are about 600,000 active members, 2,500 submittees, 4,500 people employed like this. Outside India, we operate in 120 countries. There are 1,969 Sai centers outside India. So what we are trying to project here is, we are not just an organization who has an income statement and balance sheet somewhere else. These are all assets which are not included. Value is not included in that balance sheet. And there may be other trusts having resources, but no other trust has the kind of human and technical excellence
and assets,
like the type assets that we have.
Yes.
So both in geographic reach and professional competence, no other charitable organization has such a committed and diverse human and intellectual capital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even assembling these statistics was very difficult. Now we got figures from each department, and we also got a figure from HR. When we added all of them together, they didn't match. So we had to go back, cross-examine, etc., etc.
Wow.
So that's what you talk
about. There's a beautiful poem at the end. Would you care to read it to us, sir?
Well, we didn't know how to end the whole thing with. So we said, look, the best thing is we need to convey our feeling at this moment.
Mm.
As we look back, as we prepare this report, and as we look back,
it looks like a real labor of love. So
what do we feel?
It's a befitting tribute at the end.
So this is what we wrote and concluded. This is the last page. We say, yet another year has passed, and as always, we have felt His unmistakable divine hand, leading us, goading us, guiding us. His physical presence we do miss, but in the commitment of ever-increasing service projects by our organizations across the world, in the continued success of our students in academic and co-curricular activities, in the relief of millions of patients and their families who came to our temples of healing, in the delightful celebrations of all festivals exactly as they happened before, in the joy of the hundreds of thousands of devotees from world over who visited Prashanthalayam this past year, in the invigorating chants of the hymns from all faiths reverberating in the precincts of the ashram, in all these we have felt His presence, and we have known that His world is still as He envisioned, and so shall it remain and his mission will go on.
Beautiful words. Thank you so very much for sharing them with us and telling us so much of good information. Your participation in the show, sir, is deeply appreciated.
Thank you.
Sai Ram. Dear listeners, you just heard Professor Anant Raman, the media coordinator of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, provide us with more than just a sneak peek into the annual report 2012-2013 of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. This report will be officially released day after tomorrow on November the 23rd, 2013, on the occasion of Bhagwan Baba's 88th birthday anniversary. Very soon, you can also download the PDF version of this report from the website of the Central Trust, and it is open and accessible to one and all. Now, at this point in time, let's just listen to our recent jingle, which we have prepared for Bhagwan's 88th birthday, and we'd love to know your feedback on that before I go any further.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Thank you for staying tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Today is the 21st of November, 2013, and the time right now is 10:50 a.m. I'm running a little bit behind schedule, and I will just fast forward to our next presentation, which is the next episode, that is part 3, of our Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Mr. Gautam Dutt, an alumnus of the Sai University. And following this interview, my colleague, Brother Raghu, will sign in with Service Love in Action. So I leave you to enjoy Brother Gautam Dutt's interview. He's in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Mr. Bishu Prushti. And I bid you Sai Ram and take this opportunity to offer morning glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well and stay positive. And don't forget to tune to Radio Sai Global Harmony to catch all the action happening here in Prashanthi Nilayam live in real time as it happens on our homepage, www.radiosai.org. Till we meet next Thursday, Sai Ram, and over now to Bishu in conversation with Mr. Gautam Dutt.
Sai Ram, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Baba's schools and colleges. Today we bring you the third part of the conversation with Mr. Gautam Dutt. Gautam joined the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Bhagwan's University in 1984 for his bachelor's in arts and went on to do his master's MA in English, which he completed in 1989. Immediately after this, Bhagwan graced him with the opportunity of teaching in his college in the Vrindavan campus, which he did for 14 years till 2003. Later, he moved to the Middle East, to the Gulf country of Sultanate of Oman. And as of August 2013, when this conversation was recorded, he continued to work in Oman in the Caledonian College of Engineering as the head of department in the Department of English. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And in the current episode, we are continuing our discussion with Mr. Gautam Dutt. For those of you who have been following this conversation, in the previous episode, Mr. Gautam Dutt shared about his journey to Bhagwan, how he was mesmerized with Sai Bhajans to begin with, and then completely bowled over when Bhagwan came to Delhi in 1981 and he had his first darshan. And after that, he narrated how he came to Prashanthi Nilayam during the Sevadal conference and got a very confirmed indication from Bhagwan that he would get to study, or rather he would get to stay and be close to Bhagwan. We stopped our discussion at that point in time. So today we will take our session from there, and before we proceed, let me just reiterate once again a few things about his background. He joined the Prashantinilam campus of Bhagwan's University in 1984 for his bachelor's in arts and went on to do his master's, which he completed in 1989. And after this, Bhagwan blessed him with the opportunity of teaching in his college in the Vrindavan campus, which he did for nearly a decade and a half till 2003. Later, he moved to the Middle East, to the Gulf, and he currently serves in the Sultanate of Oman. He is the head of the Department of English in Caledonian College of Engineering. And he's here with us. For now, we have to move from where we left off in the previous session. So thank you very much for coming once again to the studios of Radio Sai, sir.
Thank you, Prasthi. I'm really grateful to be back. And I thank Swami once again for giving another opportunity for me to come and speak here. So what would you like me to talk about?
Well, I think we stopped at that point where you mentioned that you had this desire to study, or rather to stay in Bhagwan's college. And or perhaps you really didn't know that there was a college existed, but you had this feeling, strong feeling, that you want to stay in Prashantinilam. And Swami unexpectedly comes out of the mandir and he blesses you. So we really want to know, how did that really happen after that? How did you really become a student? I don't know if there's more preamble to you becoming a student.
No, there is a slight preamble, but, you know, by that time, like I said earlier, the feeling was that, you know, Swami had a Ved Pathshala, and therefore, you know, I want to join that Ved Pathshala. I want to study the Vedas. But
it was not so much that you wanted to study Vedas, but if that is the only thing that you can do in Parthi, you'll as well do that.
Yeah, but the point being that you would be able to study the Vedas in the presence of the Ved Purusha himself, you know, the Divine Lord. And obviously, to my understanding, that would be one of the best things to do. I mean,
because you already started reading so much about scriptures and all.
Yes, exactly, scripture. And like I said, I was at that point of time practicing yoga.
Yes.
And I must tell you a little bit about this background of yoga. This is not the Hatha Yoga which is taught to everybody nowadays, you know, which is being marketed everywhere. It is the yoga which comes from the Himalayan masters, the rishis and sages who stay in the Himalayas. Mm. So I was fortunate to learn this yoga from a person who came from the Himalayas. And of course, I didn't know the value of it at that time. I just practiced what was taught me. But today I do. I know its total value. Mm-hmm. And one of the things which my teacher told me, my guru, yoga guru told me, was that it helps you to progress spiritually. You know? Mm-hmm. So it is meant for that. And I think most people forget one of the most important aspects of yoga, and that is, you know, it's not an exercise. Of course, it is used, you know, to maintain your health and sometimes to help in particular cases to, you know, become healthy and so on. But the ultimate focus of yoga is enlightenment. Mm. And what people forget is the basis, the foundation of yoga is Yam Niyam.
Yes.
You know, so
Yamaniyama, the Patanjali.
Yes, the Yam Niyam is the foundation. Without that, you cannot go to the next step, the third step. And therefore, it's not an exercise.
Yeah.
It's a way of life.
Just one, perhaps in the whole scheme of what is yoga, this exercise is just a very small component.
Yes, it is a stage.
It's a stage.
And to prepare for that stage, you have to undergo the first two stages, which are the ethical and moral rules that you have to follow.
That is what is Yama Niyama. You have
many. Yes.
I think there are so many rules and so many things prescribed at the Yama Niyama stage. There is a whole discussion.
Actually, no, they're very simple. There are five rules for Yama and five rules for Niyama, which is, then they're very simple. Yeah? There are things like, don't steal, be honest.
Yes.
Stealing would mean even if I pick up your pen without asking you, that strict, I mean, it would be defined as stealing, you know. So those, of course, the rules are very strict and we have to follow them. But like I said, it's not a set of exercises only. Most people go directly to the asanas, you know.
Mm.
But the asanas are only something along the way. And you have to lay the foundation for those asanas. And that's Yam and Niyam. So, it's a way to enlightenment. It's a way of life.
Yes.
Not, you know, something which is a mixture. it is one way to reach God.
Yes.
So I was practicing this yoga, and as I said, it had been taught to me from one of the masters from the Himalayas. And I was fortunate enough. Of course, I got into it because I was good in sports, and they said to me that somebody said to me, or my parents actually, that it would help me to perform better.
Okay.
But the teacher that I met happened to be an adept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was very fortunate at that time, learning from him. So I used to practice yoga 3 times a day. You know.
3 times a day?
Yes, 3 times a day. Because as he said, the teacher himself said, he said, if you want to maintain good health, you practice it once a day. If you want to look younger, practice it 2 times a day. But if you want spiritual benefit, practice it 3 times a day. So I did it 3 times a day.
And so, how much time would you devote each time?
It would take me about an hour and a half to, you know, finish my whole session of yoga with this meditation and everything.
So you should give 3-4 hours every day to yoga.
As a teenager,
I think that is something huge.
Yes, but that also, I think, is a credit to Baba, because once I came into Baba's fold, you know, Baba accelerates your progress in spirituality. And he accelerated my experience in yoga also. And some of the experiences I got, when I discussed them with my teacher, he said, it's impossible, how can this be, you know, because it's not supposed to be so fast. And I used to just keep quiet and tell him that, look, this is what I experienced. And he would be mystified. But I knew that it was because of my devotion to Baba. It was because of the prayers, you know, which went with it to Baba, that it was accelerated. So I had quite a good experience. So these experiences also inspire you, you know, they motivate you, they inspire you, they make you want to go deeper and deeper and, you know, seek out the goal, as they say, more and more. So this continued, and after I came to Puttaparthi, I realized that Baba has an institute, there is a college, and then I, of course, my desire became to study in Baba's
college.
So did
it happen during that Sevadal conference time, or did this happen later?
No, after the Sevadal conference, because I saw Puttaparthi, I was here.
So when you left Puttaparthi at that time, you were aware of the university?
Yes, then I realized that, you know,
you can think beyond the Ved Parshala.
Yes, I can think this beyond the Ved Parshala. And, you know, I was very impressed with Baba's students, the way they conducted themselves and how Baba interacted with them. You know, when this is, I think, the case with everybody, when any youngster comes and sees the way Baba interacted with the students, you know, they would love to be in the student's shoes, as they say. So this is what happened to me also. So now my desire became to study in Baba's place. But the goal, again, being spiritual, because I never thought about the academic side of it, really. It was, you know, to get some kind of spiritual enlightenment. This is what the soul always seeks, you know, to move on, to evolve. And therefore, the desire became stronger. It became stronger, of course, after I came here. And then I prayed more and more. And as time progressed, my desire also grew.
It's really amazing because, you know, at that stage in life, as a teenager, you deciding to come to study in Bhagwan's college, not because of academics, not because of anything else other than spiritual growth. I mean, you are so clear about it.
Yes, but I don't think I'm the only one. I think there are many who would have had the same kind of desire, the same kind of attraction to Bhagwan, you know. I do remember, there was one particular student who has the same name as me. And how he came to Baba, maybe he'll be able to tell better himself. But what we learned from him was that he was actually traveling by train. And he was coming from Nepal. And he was going to a certain place in India. And somebody talked to him about Baba on the train. And he got off at the next station and changed his ticket to Puttaparthi. And I remember he came here. Baba was not here. And we were students at that time. I was in my first year. When Baba was not here, we used to sleep in the mandir. So on the sands around the you know, temple. And this student was given the task of guarding. Because he came from Nepal, he was given the task of guarding the mandir at night. So he used to, you know, guard the mandir at night, and we used to see him every day. And then after some days, Baba came to Puttaparthi. The first thing he asked was about that boy, that young boy who had come to Puttaparthi and who was guarding his temple. And Swami immediately gave him a seat in his college.
Wow.
And spoke to him, gave him an interview, gave him money and clothes and so on, you know. So I think Baba has always attracted those people who are ready and, yes, you know, who are yearning for spiritual enlightenment. And there are many, I'm sure there are many people like that. So coming back to what I was saying, so, you know, when I started praying and as my desire to join Baba's college grew more and more, I started praying harder and harder. Of course, what went on inside my heart was not known to many people. Not known. I think even my parents, even till now, wouldn't be aware of that particular process. But it grew and grew. And then one day, I remember, I was sitting on my study table. By the way, I was studying my BSc at that time.
You're studying your BSc?
Yes.
You had already joined.
I was in college, yes.
Okay.
And it was my final year in BSc. And
final year in BSc?
Yes. Yes. And those days, they used to have two types of BSc. One was 2 years, one was 3 years. So I was doing the one with 2 years.
Okay.
And I was there in my second year. And, you know, I was sitting and I was studying. And then while studying, I was listening to some bhajans which were going on. That was another difference. Instead of playing
Western music.
Western music.
I can mention
now bhajans were being played. So I was listening to bhajans and I was sitting there and I was singing along, and then I was overcome with emotion. And I very deeply prayed to Baba and I said, when are you going to call me? There was a calendar, you know, a table calendar on my desk. And this table calendar had the picture of Shivalingam and Lord Shiva and Shivalingam. And the moment I prayed, a huge drop of Amrit appeared in that Shivalingam. And I didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't want anybody to know. And I broke down. I started crying because there was some kind of divine energy around. So I became emotional. I started crying. And that drop of Amritam, as I call it, remained intact until the day I got the news that I am going to join Baba's college.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, so I made sure nobody disturbed it or nobody, you know, came to know about it. And I kept it like that. So from that, I thought, you know, maybe, you know, Baba is compassionate enough to allow me to join his college and so on. And then I started getting dreams, you know, Baba's dreams. And one of the last ones that I had, in those dreams, Baba used to talk to me. You know, he would give me instructions sometimes. He would give me advice. He would talk to me. And this went on. And then one night, one evening, Baba appeared in my dream and he said to me, he was dressed in white robe, you know. I had never seen Baba in a white robe. So in this dream, he was in a white robe. And the place was in front of the mandir, you know, the Prashanti mandir. And on the sand, Swami is standing there and I'm in front of him, kneeling down. And he asked me, he said, what is your name? And I said, my name is Gautam. He said, no, tell me your full name. So I said, my full name is Gautam Dutt. And he said, yes, you are going to join my college. You are going to be my student. And then he said, I'll show you the college. And the next moment we were in the Puttaparthi college. And Baba took me around. And we ended up in the hall, the assembly hall, you know, where people gather for talks. So he gave me a tour of the college. And that was a dream. So, you know, I got up and I was excited. And I told my mother first and then, you know, everybody was excited, but nobody knew how am I going to join? Until, again, it was Mrs. Malhotra, you know, a few days after that, she asked my mother, have you applied for Baba's college for your son? And my mother said, no, I don't know anything. She said, no, immediately write and get the form. So my mother, you know, wrote and got the form, and we sent the form and the money and so on. And, of course, Mrs. Malhotra used to ask me, you know, things, questions like, why do you want to join Baba's college? She used to, you know, interview me and make sure that I was, you know, in the right frame of mind. And she used to even challenge me sometimes by saying, you know, it's very difficult to be in Baba's college. It's not easy and so on. And we used to have these discussions quite often. So the form was sent, the money was sent, and then after some time, again she asked, she said, did you receive any reply? And my mother said, no, we didn't get anything, nothing came. And she said, but they have announced the date for the exam and everything. So now what to do? Yeah, this was the question. Now there's no reply from the institute and all my hopes are being dashed and so on. So I became a little anxious and then I tried to break the news to my father and I said, I want to study in Baba's college. And of course my father was a little upset because he said, you're finishing your degree now and your final exams are coming and now you're saying that, you know, you want to go and give the exam for Baba's college and so on. You haven't even received any kind of intimation from there and so on. And then this argument was going on and he said, no, you cannot go. This is not on. It's your responsibility to finish your education and so on. So there it was. In the meantime, a letter came, which was actually the money being sent back and saying that, you know, nothing can be done and so on.
Sort of your application form was not accepted.
Yes, kind of like that. But along with the application form was a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by Baba.
Oh my God.
Now, and it said, Madam, and this is the exact word, it said, mm-hmm. Madam, please bring your son to Puttaparthi to join the college. So now there was this dilemma. What is to be done?
So officially the institute has not accepted application.
No.
But there's a letter from Baba.
Well, later on we came to know that it was Baba and it was his handwriting. It wasn't signed, it was just a note.
Oh.
So what to do? There was a dilemma. And, you know, my father was, of course, against it. And then we said, everybody decided, let's take out chits. And my father was, again, very nervous. And he said, no chits. So, again, the thing died out there. And days were passing. And I said to my father, I said, suppose the exam is postponed. Then will you send me to Puttaparthi? He said, yeah, if it is postponed, but that's impossible, you know. Especially during the final exam, nobody will postpone the final exam. So he was very sure that it won't be. But he didn't know the divine ways of Baba. And what actually happened was, suddenly there was some local election in the region of my college. The college was closed down for 10 days, exactly the time when the exam was to take place. And therefore, there was no question of not going to Puttaparthi now. So I went to my father.
No way you're missing your final exam.
Yeah, I'm not. So I went to my father and I said, look, now you said if the exams are postponed. So he had to agree. And therefore, my mother, my brother, myself, we packed our bags and, you know, left immediately for Puttaparthi. And then we came here. Now the question was about filling the form. I have not even filled the form. So we went to the office. Administrative block, I still remember. And Mr. Chakravarti was there and my mother...
The registrar.
Yes, the registrar at that time. And my mother approached him. And of course, she didn't know who had written that note, but he did. So she showed him the note and she said, you know, what am I supposed to do? This is one and this is the other. And his question was, how long have you known Baba? You know, so she said, well, since 1980 or so. Then he said, okay, we will do one thing. I'll give you a form. So right there and then he said, fill the form and put your photograph. And luckily I had a photograph, so I put it in. And right there in his office, I filled the form and I gave it to him. It seems that was the last day for the forms to be submitted and it had to be done before lunch. It was done. I sat down and I filled it and I gave it to him. And then my name appeared in the list of students who were supposed to give the exam. So I was lucky. And then I sat for the exam. When I sat for the exam, first of all, I wasn't prepared per se, you know, for the exam. Because in that hurry of packing and coming in.
So you appeared to study for BSc or BA?
For BSc, actually.
For BSc.
For BSc.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I was giving the exam, I looked around me and, you know, there were these very smart students of Bhagwan, all dressed in white and white, with vibhuti on their forehead. And they all looked as if they came from another planet, actually. You know? And I looked at them and I said to myself, I said, I don't think I'm ever going to get a seat in this college, you know. I can never be like this and so on. Anyway, the exam began. And when I was giving the exam, again, it's difficult to believe, but this is exactly what happened. Baba started prompting me, You know, he would say, it was a question paper with objective questions. So he would say, you know, tick B. So I would tick B.
Is it?
And he would say...
It's like the Akashwani experience you mentioned.
Yes, something like that. And then he would say, tick A. So I would tick A.
You were hearing his voice.
Yeah. And I did the whole exam like that. And then, you know, so when I came out of the examination hall, my mother asked me, how did you do the exam? And I said, I really don't know. And she said, what do you mean? But, of course, I didn't explain further. I said, I don't know. Maybe I'll pass, maybe I won't. I just kept quiet. And then, of course, I had to go back. So I returned back to Kashmir, to my place in Muzaffarpur. And my mother and my brother stayed back. And
you had to go back to complete your exam.
Yes. And then I was waiting for my result. And then finally, when the result came out, my mother and brother were still here. So they saw my name was the last one on the list. And
wow.
I had been selected. And they, you know, immediately sent word that I've been selected. And that's how I came to join some
virtually,
of
I mean, he was there at every step.
Yes, he...
Trying to see...
I should say he never gave up on me. He was there all the time, yes. All the time.
Amazing.
Yeah, so then I came to Puttaparthi to join the college.
How were those initial days in the college?
Oh, they were beautiful. Even when I was waiting to join the college, you know, after I had finished there, I wanted to spend my complete 5 years with Baba. So I started from undergraduation again. That's why I gave the exam for the undergraduation. I could have given the exam for the post-graduation.
Master's?
Yeah, because I would have completed it by that time, you know, by the result had come.
Yeah.
But I wanted to spend 5 years, and I told my father, and of course he was very unhappy.
Because you were losing 2 years.
Yes, because I was losing time, yes.
Yeah.
And even I think my mother would be, but she never said anything. But I was adamant. I said, no, I want to spend 5 years with Baba. Of course, at that time it was 5 years, because 5 years at the college.
And, yes.
And that's how I joined the undergraduation program here. When I was waiting for joining the college, I was staying with my parents, with my mother and my brother in the ashram. By that time, I had developed my meditation a little bit. So what my routine used to be when we used to come for Baba's darshan was, I used to meditate before coming for the darshan. And of course, my mother and my brother would have left long ago because they would sit in the lines and so on. And I would tell them I'm following, but actually I wouldn't. I would be meditating. And, you know, I would be prompted to get up and go for darshan. So until that happened, I would continue meditating. And then, you know, again the Akashwani, that now it's time to go for darshan. So I would get up, I'd lock the room.
Just this voice from somewhere,
yes,
telling you very clearly.
Yes, very, very clearly. And I accepted it as Baba's voice, you know. It was his voice. So I would get up and I would walk to the darshan line. And those days they used to have this token system. So it depends on which line you take and,
yes,
you know, whether you get a front seat or a back seat or whatever. And then very clearly when I would approach the lines, Baba would say, sit in X line. And I would go and sit in that line. And invariably, I would be in the front. So all the days that I was waiting to join the college, when I had darshan, I would be in the front line.
Every day?
Every day. Every darshan. Not just day, every darshan. And that was another amazing experience for me. You know.
Truly breathtaking.
Yes. And, you know, of course, Baba would not speak to me. He never spoke to me, but he would look at me and, you know, pass every day right in front of me. So. In a way, he was preparing me, I think. So until the day I joined the college, this is the process which went on. And of course, and the other routine that we used to follow in the mandir, you know, do the parikrama in those days around the mandir, which was a wonderful opportunity, actually. You know, just the thought that Baba is staying in the mandir and, you know, you're doing parikrama.
Yeah, circumambulation.
Yeah, it was what should I say, uplifting, you know.
Yes.
Very nice. And so on. So it was a very nice few days that we spent before I joined the college. And then I joined the college. The day I went to the hostel, my mother gave me a big lecture. You know, you have to get up early. You have to do this. And I said, okay. And I joined the hostel. Mr. Nityanand, I think, was the warden that time. And
Mr. Nityanand Menon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I went to him. I joined the first day. He gave me a room. It was A1.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember. And then I kept my things. And my mother was very worried, you know, will you be able to get up early? And I said, don't worry, and everything. And then she left me and I settled down. And the first night, you know, there was a tradition in those days. Food used to go to the mandir, to Baba, and then this food, which used to go from the hostel, used to be blessed by Baba, and it used to come back, and then it used to be given to the boys in one of the rooms.
Oh, okay. So each one day, one room had this.
Yes. Okay. So me being in A1, on the first night, somebody woke me up in the night, and because I used to sleep early, so around 8:30 I'd slept. Somebody woke me up and said to me, please come, Baba's prasadam is being served. So I got up and I said, what is this prasadam? And then they explained to me that this is the food, you know, sent every day to Baba, and he has blessed it, and it is shared among the students. So on the first night itself, when I was in the hostel, I was so fortunate to get this prasadam, which was, you know, blessed by Baba. And that's how I think my stay in the hostel began and my stay in the institute began.
Everything was his prasadam.
Everything was his prasadam, yes, exactly. Everything is, not his, was,
yeah,
is.
Even now.
His prasadam, very much.
You just heard the third part of a conversation with Mr. Gautam Dutt, an alumnus of Baba's University, who basked in his physical proximity for nearly 20 years, 5 years as a student and then 14 years as a faculty member in his university till 2003. This conversation was recorded in August 2013, and as of then, Mr. Dutt continued to work in the Sultanate of Oman, serving as the head of Department of English in the Caledonian College of Engineering. This was yet another episode of our series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bisha Prosti. You're welcome to share your feedback by writing to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you very much and Sai Ram.